Warning, today's podcast may include surprise appearances by the Capitol Critters and Fish Police, fanciful fun analysis of ad hoc cadaver surgery in hotel ballrooms, and a roundup of theme park news, including the Donald Trump robot and Disney's purchase of Fox. Stay seated and refrain from protests. This is Podcast The Ride. Everyone, welcome to Podcast The Ride, the podcast about theme parks hosted by three men who have had fewer sexual partners than there are Disney theme parks. correct me if the numbers are wrong. Whiz.
No, they're not.
No, Jack's with me.
I'm not adding a lot to that pile. But there's also a lot of Disney theme parks. And are you counting water parks? We can discuss all that. We'll cross check numbers later. anyway, hey, I'm joined by Jason Sheridan.
Hello.
Hey. And Mike Carlson.
I just said hi to Jason's name.
Saying,
sorry,
yes.
I was really counting numbers in my head, but they're very low, so I was really thrown off.
Can you guess at home? let us know. Hey, well, this is, though we've released new episodes in 2018, this is the first one that we're recording in 2018. And also, we've tended to do a lot of episodes that are recorded well before they come out. And this is the first one where we're putting it out the week of. And we felt this was very necessary because theme park news has been just bonkers lately. There's so much to catch up on. Mm-hmm. December and the beginnings of January have just been absolutely batshit, and we wanted to tell you all about it.
And not necessarily good news. For
yeah, in fact, a lot of it.
But
not.
It's definitely happened.
Hey, I mean, among other things, this is only tangentially theme park news, but our podcast network fell apart. There's one thing that
gone.
Happened
yeah.
on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that was great to deal with over the holidays.
A lot of fun.
In my PJs.
We had a blast, you know, because going indie is, you know, there's just a real mm-hmm. thrill to getting back into the grime and the muck, and you know, being freed up. I think has been a real pleasure for all of us and a fun thing to deal with. Over
I think
Christmas.
We're a bunch of podcast cowboys now, and that's the way I'm looking at it. You know, just going from town to town. We'll record anywhere. We're doing this in my living room. There's a dog floating around. You may hear him on the track. I don't know. He's probably going to wander in here and bark at me.
Yes, we got your letters, and finally we now have what you've all been clamoring for. More talk about the logistics of recording a podcast, baby.
Yeah, so...
We're talking more referencing trucks that go by, sirens outside, humming and construction work at nearby apartment complexes. We're bringing you all of that, new for 2018.
Finally, we get to do all the technical stuff that we spent months trying to get with a network to avoid having to do.
Yeah. So I guess what we're saying, look, hey, if you have a network out there, hey, let us know. I mean, we're listening to any network. If you have a theme park specific network,
there could be one.
There could be one that we don't even know about that wants to, you know, take us and put us under your delightful wing.
Is your wing warm?
Is
let
your
us
wing
in.
Warm?
Hey, but R.I.P. Feral Audio, and thanks for the snacks.
Yeah, I sure did eat a lot of free snacks that I may not have supposed to have eaten.
Too late.
Never stopped you before.
can't sue you now. They don't exist. Hey, but anyway, but that among other things, just a crazy couple of weeks. I don't even need to tell you about most of these stories. I'm sure you know about most of them. We're talking about the outbreak of Legionnaire's disease at Disneyland. Two coolant towers had to be shut down to prevent the Legionnaire's outbreak.
I don't think they're not sure it came from Disneyland, but they're pretty sure. So like people just started getting sick in Anaheim, and then they traced it back, and they're like, all these people with Legionnaire's disease all went to Disneyland, and then they had to clean out two towers. And then, you know, Scott and I were there yesterday, and so far I haven't contracted Legionnaire's disease.
I don't know what the symptoms are, but if being in a great mood and feeling fine are the symptoms, then I got them.
Did you, Jason, do you know what Legionnaire's symptoms are?
I don't know the symptoms,
oh, okay.
No. I think it's probably fever and
it's the same symptoms as every other disease.
Every other disease.
You get a fever and you feel like crap.
Coughing.
And then, yeah, cough.
There was several years ago, this is very old news, but there was an outbreak that that started from a kid who had not been vaxxed.
That was measles?
It was a small child, yeah, that had not been vaccinated and went in Fantasyland. And if your kid had not been vaccinated, or you could go to Disneyland, touch the wheel at the teacups, and get measles.
Boy, wonderful. Yeah. It's a very touchy park in general. Everything kids do is like, have fun, jump around it, touch it, touch all the levers and buttons and doodads.
And right in the middle of a state where people have some sometimes kooky ideas on child rearing.
Sure. Anyway, Jenny McCarthy, great job this New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Yeah.
Thanks for ringing it in. Fine work as always.
Blood on your hands.
You.
All
I will not allow
mine.
The innocent Disney company to take the blame. It's all Jenny. What else happened? There was also a blackout at Disneyland that took out all of Toontown. A lot of Fantasyland left people stranded on It's a Small World for a number of hours.
Also notable, happened on the day both teams playing in the Rose Bowl were there.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and in addition to, wasn't it the 26th? Or it was Christmas week. It was a big crowd day already. Mm-hmm. And then there was another thing going on, and then the blackout happened.
And people had to walk off, right?
Yeah, I think there was some walk-offs of some rides, okay. Sure.
Have we talked on the show yet about walk-offs and what a sort of a treasured thing it is?
What a valued, if you get stuck in an attraction, and then possibly the hope of seeing some backdoor weird alleyway part of the attraction that people don't otherwise get to see, that's pretty exciting.
Like that, if it was a walk-off and you were on Pirates, the dream would be like you'd have to get off the boat in the town. Would be a dream to get to go up close and see the horrible pirates.
Yeah, to pass right by one, get to plant a kiss on one of them or something. Yeah,
I'm sure that's not allowed, but
but all bets are off when things close. Anything where you'd have to straddle water or do some death-defying jump. Yeah, that'd be
so the blackout was bad, but it was good for those folks that probably got to walk through a few of the attractions.
Yes, if it happened to you and you're listening, let us know. Tell us your tale. Share any photos.
Share any kisses you planted on robots.
Tell us all the sultry details.
That treat is like the opposite of what happened to me when I went down to the park in mid-December, and a woman kept holding up her giant dumbass phone to try to take a picture during the ride Space Mountain, a pitch black ride, pictures in a pitch black ride. And I'm scared to death, I'm going to get a concussion when that giant Android phone flies out of her hand and right up my head. And then as we pulled back into the station, she went, "Wow, it sure was dark in there," like a cartoon character.
Oh, boy.
You would have been like Fabio and the bird. Put a phone.
Oh,
that would have been a phone.
That fucking bird.
It would have bloodied your nose.
Been a lot. Yeah, just lodged straight into your head, just a corner wedged in there. And then we still do the podcast with you, but it makes very little sense.
Yeah,
concussion ramblings.
That was, I did not wait at all. I walked right onto Space Mountain because I used the single rider's line at the Space Mountain Disneyland.
Another news story.
Yeah, oh, boy.
News.
That are they still doing it? Are they not? Was that
I forgot to check. We didn't even go on Space Mountain.
It was very ad hoc when I was there. A lot of folding signs and back. Oh, went through a back alleyway I hadn't seen before.
There you go.
Splash Mountain, too, is like that where it was not intended. They don't have a special single rider. You just kind of go through the exit, and then they just plop you next to somebody.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Another exciting thing that happened while we were gone.
Changes. They're shutting down. Mike and I went yesterday to bid farewell to Paradise Pier at California Adventure, which is set to become Pixar Pier, which I'm sure will change everything. You'll hear all of the earth-shattering details here on the show. What actually happens there? The California Screamin' turns into the
Incredicoaster.
They put some stuff. It looks like they're going to put some characters on it. So you'll go through a tube and Mrs. Incredible is stretching. So there'll be something, but it's the exact same ride. There's going to be no change to what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be a few nice, and there'll be nice paint. New paint.
They're going to make the Cove Bar into something like Frozone's Bar.
Yesterday we came up with a good retheming for the Cove Bar, which is over on Paradise Pier. theme it to the Up, or no, Up, Jesus, theme it to Wally's Captain.
Oh, so it's a glutton place?
Yeah,
it's
so like he likes to drink. We assume he likes to drink, so yeah. Like the captain from Wally's bar.
Voiced by Jeff Garland, the one of the fat Wally guy with the little bones with the most authority, who I assume probably loves to eat and have a good time.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So just big old food trays you just dip your head into.
We need to get the Wally stuff into the park finally, because people want to see a giant trash pile that a robot collects. But this is a better version of it. So that was our blue skying yesterday.
Anything that
sorry,
gets,
by the way, Jason wasn't there because his past
I don't
is
have
not
the
good
Saturdays,
enough.
Okay? I'm not no throwing money around left and right like these two, you know? you can check out more frugal theme park tips on my upcoming
theme parks
podcast
on a budget.
On our own network. By yeah, Theme Parks on a Budget, the frugal rider.
I like this. I That's want good. This. Yeah. Maybe this is our Patreon side project. It's an exclusive. I'm totally into the frugal rider.
Only go to the parks on a Tuesday morning.
I mean, it does rule. That's what I did. I got down there at like 8 in the morning on a Tuesday in December. And
you did do a Tuesday morning, right?
Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday morning. And
did you hitchhike your way down there?
No, that would have been more pleasant than driving in, you know, that morning rush hour traffic. Mm-hmm. But I wish. I did ride like 6 rides by 10 in the morning. Like, it's so... That's the one time when people go like, when is it not crowded? And it's like, before 10 a.m. is pretty much your only guaranteed thing anymore. Mm-hmm.
I think this would be really an ultimate tip, but I don't encourage anyone to try, especially not yourself, but you could, the real way to save money would be to like get somebody to fly a helicopter over the park and then like try to sneakily skydive down into the park.
Oh, sure.
And you're skipping that admission altogether. Sure. Maybe see if you can land in the lake. That might be
It's a shallow lake, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true, depending on how high you're coming down from.
Splash-wise. Yeah. I think top of Matterhorn I would go with.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it's, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you're coming down and people think you're one of those mountain
That's
climbers.
That's right. People think, oh, the mountain climber is back, but he's got an American Apparel sweatshirt on.
Surely this is what would happen and not, like, as soon as you're within 1,000 feet, you get shot down by Disney snipers. Uh-huh. well, somebody, I don't know, give it a shot. See if you can somebody try to airdrop into Disneyland. What else? It's not just in Disney. World, change is afoot everywhere. The Johnny Rocket at Universal City Walk is closing. Heartbreaking news that I'm
not,
sure you're all reading.
Scott,
really,
Scott, no, it's not actually. It's closing for a few weeks.
Is it not? It is a.
No, it's closing for a few weeks for a refurbishment.
It is a refurbishment closing. Okay. I see.
It's
wait,
okay.
Because,
it's going to be
so
okay.
We saw different news stories on the
updated,
in the theme park Twitter.
I think they updated.
What was the account? Was it Inside Universal?
Yeah, shout
Twitter?
Out to Inside Universal for catching that there were walls around it and then correcting that it was just being refurbished.
Okay, thank God. Because this is no, folks, if you haven't been up there, if you're not Los Angeles natives, this is no ordinary Johnny Rockets. Why, it's 1.5 times the size. It's a sprawling campus.
It used to be a Daily
Burgers.
Grill.
Oh, right.
Here's the way that they reported. So Inside Universal, which is a Twitter account that follows Universal News exclusively, that the three of us all follow.
And know people personally involved with.
That we know people personally. So I guess we're kind of, I'm sure they were
jumping
doing
on
best.
The back of their scoop.
Yeah, but here, so they tweeted, Johnny Rockets at Universal City Walk, Hollywood has closed. And that was when they put a article up about it. And then, an hour later, Inside Universal has learned that the closure of Johnny Rockets is for refurbishment. The restaurant should open in a month.
Okay. Oh,
so
thank God.
They retracted their story.
What a start that gave me.
They have been closing a lot at the City Walk in Hollywood and replacing it with either, like, fast casual stuff, like, you know, your Smashburger, your Ludo Chicken, or, like, slightly nicer stuff, I think, at some point is coming.
But they still have a sock store. They still have a store where you can purchase socks. Yeah. And a store where you can buy the same garbage that you could buy on Hollywood Boulevard. Like Oscar statues that say best teacher.
Yeah, yeah. Myself and upcoming guest John Daly had a pitch at the also defunct company CISO, R.I.P. Farrell and CISO, and we went to City Walk beforehand because they were nearby each other, and we went to that store and bought shirts that say "I Heart Hollywood," oh. so that we would be properly decorated for our pitch. The shirts were met with a lot of forced grins, and our show was not picked up, but if it had been, we still wouldn't be making it because CISO is dead.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks, store. Upstart Crow is the name of it. I was just going through my receipts for tax purposes. That shirt was a business write-off. It was for a meeting, so I now know it was the Upstart Crow. Thank you for helping the pitch.
Yeah, you're helping keep them in business, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're legitimizing it, and I encourage everyone to go there. And
so yeah.
You know what else you can get there are like you can buy driver's licenses for like
movie
like stars.
McLovin or Elvis Presley
yes,
or Marilyn
exactly.
Monroe,
Dr. Evil. And there's bizarre, like, some of them, like, there's a space for occupation, and in the case of Dr. Evil, it's, like, mad genius, but in the case of Beyonce, it's, like, single ladies. Like, it's, like, there's no consistency to what the occupations are. Hmm. So I will try the Upstart Crow uh-huh. for that.
My memory is that half of it is also just Betty Boop merchandise. Is that wrong?
Yeah,
yeah.
There's
that
just a
right.
lot of Betty
I mean,
Boop
a lot
merchandise.
Of those generic Hollywood souvenir stores are Betty Boop and James Dean and Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
And
it'd
Elvis.
Be the easiest license to get, possibly. yeah. That might just be floating out there. Well, but so there lots of stories, and but there's another. A tiny one that we should probably fit a little bit of time of the podcast to talk about, which is the arrival of Donald J. Trump into the Hall of Presidents.
Oh, are we doing that
happened.
One first?
Oh,
or
we could.
Are we doing
wait,
the,
oh, wait.
Are we doing the...
Well, I just don't want the... well, we can hit the cadavers as well. which order?
I think let's do cadavers.
Let's talk cadavers. Okay. Trump teaser, but cadavers.
I want to take the lead on this one.
Okay, great.
Okay, so this is one that I feel like a lot of theme park news sites did not pick up on, but Scott...
oh, yes, I was aware of this because of Matt Wyatt, a friend of the podcast. Thank you,
yeah.
Matt.
Sent this to Scott, and this is part of a Reuters series called "The Body Trade: Cashing In on the Dead." And I have some of it in front of me. The summary of this series. This is part 6: Cadavers in the Ballroom. Doctors practice their craft in America's favorite hotels. Big names in hospitality have a little-known sideline. They rent space to physicians who drain on cadavers and body parts. There is scant regulation, and some public health specialists warn of biosafety risks. So this is the opening of the article, and I think you'll quickly see why we're talking about it. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. That's right, they're heat and eat, ready in just 2 minutes. I recently tried some vegetarian meals because I am a big boy who needs to eat more vegetables. I tried great entrees like the Caribbean spiced tofu with black beans, rice, mango salsa, and coconut jerk sauce. And the garlic and herb roasted mushrooms. That's right, I'm a big time mushroom boy. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Just outside the operating theater, the organizers of a medical conference wore Minnie Mouse ears. Inside, as doctors practiced on 3 cadavers, blood from one of the human specimens seeped through a layer of wrapping. I guess we should have had a warning before that. They leak, a lab technician said of the bodies. This session, so...
Mouse ears, blood leaking already in
yeah,
this story.
This session's held last month, attended by a Reuters reporter, weren't at a hospital or medical school. They were part of a so-called cadaver lab. It was one of scores of such events over the past 6 years that have been held at a hotel or its convention center. And now here it comes. In this case, doctors practiced nerve root blocks and other procedures on cadavers in one of the Grand Harbor Ballroom salons at Disney's Yacht and Beach Club Resort Convention Center. Uh-huh. That's right. There's the twist. A cadaver lab at the beautiful Yacht and Beach Club Resort.
Yes, which if you haven't been down to Disney World is kind of the, it's sort of the New England themed, very, very picturesque. One of my favorite hotels that
very
I stayed
tony,
at when I was a kid.
Very upscale. And
Yeah. A deluxe resort, in fact, it is classified as. And the ballrooms where also just conventions and weddings are held are also being used to take actual dead bodies and do tests and practice operations on them.
Online, Disney refers to their ballrooms at this particular place as regal and resplendent.
And offered no comment on this cadaver lab story. And so what's crazy to me is this resort just got like a top to bottom refurbishment. And this is already, and it was already like one of the most expensive properties in Orlando.
Right.
And knowing that just feet away from your room are just like bone pieces going flying.
Yeah.
That was part of this article, is that whatever tests and operations are being done, they do like put down plastic and sanitize the room to some extent. But also just, you know, surgeries are pretty wild and little bone pieces can go flying up and hit the ceiling. And one of the concerns in the article was from people who think that this is, it's basically like not, these events are not really under the purview of health code regulations.
Health code. Also, like any convention, people forget to shut doors. So I think the reporter was like, I was standing outside in the hallway, which was a public access hallway, and I could see a corpse. Like, this is crazy. Disney doesn't need this money from cadaver labs. Like, there's so many hotels in Orlando, and there's so much convention space. And also, this is a very weird part of, like, these bodies come from, like, after they, you know, organ donors, or if you donate your body to science, and after they're done with it, they're like, well, does someone else want to turn with this body? Like, it's
you end up going to Disney World.
The phrase body brokers was used in this article.
Yeah.
So you go to a body broker and you get a body for whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
there's a horrifying thing, I think, in the same article that said the Reuters reporter witnessed one participant who was operating on this dead body, because this is what it's for. They're trying to learn how to operate on.
Yeah, or test out new, like, medical devices that are for sale. Or
One of the people that was operating, like, you know, just had a hands full of blood, and he was trying to wash, and there's no sink in a lot of these places. You have to go to the bathroom, and he had to go arms outstretched out into the hallway, like covered in whatever. I mean, I don't know. His blood still, depending on how old the cadaver is, I don't know what happens to blood after a while, but there's got to be some liquid. There's got to be still some liquid in these bodies, and they have to be kept fresh. So, yeah, you could be walking through with your family, and there's a young medical student just dripping with, like, goo.
A kid who was like, you know, the Snow White ride was too scary for me. I don't want to go on that again. Oh, that's okay, honey. You don't have to. Quick, get me to a bathroom. I need to be sanitized. Just blood dripping off a guy's
scrubs. As he walks
scrubs.
By Goofy in yacht captain attire.
Yeah, the other features of this hotel are a big pool area with a water slide that comes out of a shipwreck called Stormalong Bay, and a snack stand called Beaches and Cream.
Hugely popular. Then, both of these things hugely popular among Disney loyalists.
Steps away, blood and bone exposed.
I imagine that it's like you're eating at Beaches and Cream, and just think of the scene in Ghostbusters 2 when they come from the sewer covered in goo and they interrupt Bill Murray, who's eating there, and they're getting goo over all these rich, fancy people. That's exactly what happens at Beaches and Cream when you're trying to eat one of the kitchen sink floats, which is their like $50 giant mess of ice cream. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You can only assume also with the New England theming that
someone there speaks in that tycoon voice. Oh, well, my heavens.
I never. It's a phrase.
This for $500 a night.
Yeah, I really insane. Also, the fact that, see, the. So, just to give the body brokers credit, the bodies in this operation are screened for HIV and hepatitis, but there's certain things that you can't really pre-track, like tuberculosis. So there could be tuberculosis-filled bones flying around this room. Mm-hmm. And also, as the article points out, you know, like a little piece of bone ends up in a carpet that they didn't put plastic down on, and then in 2 days there's a wedding there, and there's a one-year-old crawling around on the floor who's like, you know, nobody has eyes on, and is like, you know, he's like licking the carpet or something.
Jesus.
Like, I'm describing a very grim scene. This is why this article was written. It's why people are concerned. And
I don't know. I mean, it's another just insane branch of health care in our country. It's just another insane dark side story to how America deals with health stuff. But like, it's crazy to me that like Disney, I mean, they must have known when they're booking these events, like
they would have
gonna,
to know.
someone's gonna find out about this at some point, but like I really haven't seen much uproar about it, so we might be helping break this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the theme park world,
but
people aren't
maybe
reading the Reuters website all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not too constantly on Reuters, just once in a while. But, maybe the body brokers have a little situation, a little backdoor situation with Disney, and maybe Disney has needs for before dead bodies, maybe you're like, you know, that's the correct amount of weight to test roller coasters with, or I don't know.
There's no other
maybe
way to do that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. How else could you?
Weighted,
I mean, sewing
sacks
together
of sand couldn't do the same job.
No. Well, look, you'd have to like stack them up and you'd have to make sand arms and legs. You know, who knows if that's complicated? Why not just go straight to the source? And
I think they need the bodies because they need to refresh the skeletons on the Pirates of the Caribbean every once in a while. So what other way are they going to get those? Mm-hmm. There's no way to make a fake skeleton.
And it's expensive and time.
It's expensive. Yeah, you can, but it's like $500,000 for a fake skeleton.
Michael, that sounds like mere tomfoolery to me.
No, I'm being very highly serious.
Well, this I think there is one recent audio animatronic that very likely may be a reanimated corpse, which is the new animatronic of Donald J. Trump in the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, here we go. Here
Walt
we go
Disney
on
World.
This one. Now that
what
we got the
segue.
Cadavers out of the way, we can get on to this.
Cut to the chase. I mean, look, this is a story that's been out there a bunch already. If you're listening to this podcast, I can only assume that you've seen photos, perhaps a number of photos. Photos of the glorious Trump bot, but anyway, it was they snuck it in very just under the wire, maybe thinking that you slide it into the holiday season, people don't really pay attention, people's trips are pre-booked, and families are there, and they don't attract a lot of trouble. I was just always. I was wondering if this was ever going to open. I can't believe it did in 2017. And suddenly one day it happened, and we dropped everything, and we had a little emergency session of what to tweet about.
We had our own tweet storm going.
It was our little The Post style. All right, what do we do? Roll your sleeves up, gentlemen. But it's there. Trump's there, and he's making his speeches and waving his hands around every day.
Looks ugly as sin.
Donald John Trump, as he says. I'm Donald John Trump. By the way, and I think people have mentioned something like this, but I don't know. I haven't seen anyone say his name is Don John, the same as Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character in the movie Don John, where he's like, I like three things: my women, whatever, my cars,
my gym,
and my porn. I like lifting weights, and I like porno. And that's Don John, but that's the same
Don
name.
John.
He's Donald Trump is Don John.
Yeah. You never hear the John. Yeah, it's only Jay.
And he says it on the ride or during the show. Yeah. Donald John Trump.
So, I mean, a lot of people have seen the character, and it's you know, we only have audio here. It's hard to describe, but he's it's grotesque, certainly.
It's ghoulish. It's incredible. For me, I'd be incredibly insulted. I mean, it looks, it technically, it's a good, like, another generation of lifelike animatronics, but it really, really makes him look like shit.
Yeah.
And the speech he gives is probably the most coherent speech Donald Trump has ever given, probably because it wasn't written by one of the fucking white supremacist speech writers he has on stand.
When it wasn't written off the just the
Steve
top
Bannon
of his dome.
Or Steve Miller. It wasn't just coming off his dome. Yeah. Imagineers wrote like a pretty safe spiel about America.
Oh, Jason, let me correct you though. Steve Bannon didn't really have anything to do with the presidency. That's coming.
Oh,
out
is
since.
That what we're going with now?
No. Yeah, he had very. He was a he was a coffee boy. Basically, he was an overblown. He was there. He was in the room, but I think he was just fetching people snacks. So just to correct your.
Oh, you're right. Sloppy. I forgot. So he is sloppy.
Yeah,
Steve,
sloppy Steve. So. I think he was probably going to get people coffees and tripped and fell, and that's why he's now he's sloppy Steve. Oh God. Yeah. The speech itself, I mean, I don't, not to just read it, I'm trying to remember. I mean, the part that I noted and have written down is specifically the line, being American is to be an optimist.
Yes, that's what I was going to say too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he is not an optimistic man.
No.
I put that side by side to another pre-written speech of a rare pre-written speech of his, which is from his inauguration address. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. Though I guess that's him describing the past, and the optimist is saying no more. And I, after the last year, no more of those factories. He scrubbed them all up. Rust be gone.
That was apparently a thing revealed in that. What is that book that everyone's going nuts on? The Fire and the Fury
just released as we heard this.
That inauguration address was supposed to be like a rousing victory cry, but because like Trump is such a grumpy Gus and he looked so unhappy, it came out as like a horrifying ooh.
Well, and it was the weather was horrible.
Oh, the weather was atrocious.
People
no one
sad.
Was there.
That too.
No one was watching.
But people seemed like they were lining up for this all of presidents. And why not? Why not watch the train wreck? Why not check it out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the day that it broke on Twitter was very exciting. We did all just have to drop everything. We were texting each other and refreshing Twitter every 2 minutes. And because imagine being in the park when that happens.
Oh,
oh, my God, it's happening. With no announcement, we can be the first in this audience.
Yeah, for sure.
Friend of the podcast, Bugsy Malone, Bugsy the Gangster, as he is canonically known on our podcast.
I don't know that I'd call him a friend after the way he threatened us.
Go easy on Bugsy. I loved his skeleton dance, his graveyard dance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a skeleton now. So Bugsy Bones was there, presumably for a cadaver operation.
Checking on some of his buddies from Sing Sing.
I know him. I was in Sing Sing with him. He was there. He happened to be there on a pre-booked trip, like a week out, and like a lot of MAGA hats, he said, a lot of folks very excited to go represent and check out their guy. And he alerted me to two things. I mean, everybody can watch video of the attraction if you haven't already. It's this odd stiff speech that is pretty nothing other than the fact that it's not in line with how he talks otherwise. But this I would not know without Bugsy, that when they in the roll call, when they get to Abraham Lincoln, he does this odd, he like gestures to Lincoln, who's sitting pretty close to him, with kind of this attitude of like, huh, pretty good, huh? There he is. Yay. I ain't heard a lot of these other folks. I don't know about no John Tyler, but hey, Lincoln, hey, pretty good.
Look. Abraham Lincoln, classic, best.
Class act, winner.
Class act.
But there's another thing that I haven't seen written up anywhere, which is almost odder than the gesture to Lincoln. And I'm going to turn the laptop and show you guys. look up a video. If you look up like close up Trump and watch what Trump is doing for the entire roll call, because if you don't know, in the Hall of Presidents, they say the name of every president, these robots of all of them. And right around the middle, they get to, I might have backtracked. Right around the middle, they get to Teddy Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. And just watch the video of this. Because look what he does during Teddy Roosevelt. He kind of holds up his hand and starts counting, or like
he puts his
fiddle with the fingers.
I noticed this too. I have this written down.
Okay.
He has his middle finger and his thumb, and he like rubs them kind of together. And it's this real odd. He only does it once. The robot does it once. And I don't know if that's a thing Trump does. I'm confused by it. I don't.
Yeah. It's not. I'd be concerned if it were something. It's. I was concerned it was going to be the okay sign. You know how the alt-right has adopted the, like, you know, A-OK symbol.
Oh, is it
but
some
it's
dog
not.
Whistle or something?
No, I don't. I can't imagine them putting that in there. Like, that's horrifying. But it's not. It looks like more like he's rubbing, like, when, you know, like, hey, you owe me money. Like, when a mobster, like, rubs their fingers together, like, you owe them money.
It feels like there are a few other, in addition to this, subtle digs at him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, just the way he looks, but also... Like, we were looking at close-up, like, video of the other presidents who all have an odd look on their face and do, like, kind of slightly roll their eyes once in a while he's talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went back, and my girlfriend and Lindsay, we went back and we looked at, like, the Obama one, and they don't seem to be moving their eyes at all when Obama was speaking. So there feels like there's some subtle stuff. Also, I noticed when watching that same video... Trump looks away when the other, like, so what they'll announce a president and everybody looks to all the robots look to the right. Trump will look to the left. Trump will look a different direction, like, and look like an idiot because they're all looking at one president except for him, who kind of looks or like kind of looks bored or like looks over. He's like kind of just staring into
the
distance.
Ceiling. Yeah, he's not focused on anything. And yeah, you can watch every single president goes hard right to hard left, and only he's just staring up. I think he's bored. He does a very odd like thumbs up gesture.
That
at
is
the
so
end.
Funny.
That's
if
pretty...
you haven't watched this whole video, at the very end when the music soars, his little hands in this like tiny gesture where he's just like giving the thumbs up like this.
Oh,
he barely has his
thumbs
up from his stomach. Like there's probably like 6 inches from his thumbs to his stomach. And it's so funny.
I mean, it's funny too that they captured his dumbass long tie and his stupid open jacket, that his jacket is just always open. It's never buttoned. Like,
yeah, he never talks like this and he never dresses like this. I've never seen him in anything other than the, like, I'm sure he wears other ties, but I only know like big, bright red, long tie.
Yeah, usually.
And they dressed him up a bit. He's still one of the dumber looking ones on stage, despite people being in like powdered wigs and frilly collars and 1800s clothes.
Disney really, with this attraction, like this is one of the ones that it's like, oh, you probably can't ever close it. Like they painted themselves into a corner by like, yeah, we have to add the current president. And then like in the 90s, it's like, and now the current president has to talk. And like, there's all these like artifacts in the lobby. Like they couldn't demolish this building because they would have to protect all these artifacts. And then they'd have to destroy all these robots of like American heroes. Although that said, if you look at them cumulatively, it is a real hodgepodge of like rapists, sociopaths, outright racists, genocide committers, drone strike enthusiasts. Like
all the presidents is full of assholes.
Full of
horrible
outright,
assholes.
Maniacs.
Maybe they wouldn't deny that, though. It's not as if they're, say, these are the 45 greatest men that ever were.
No, that's true.
But it's certainly, when you think about who's in there and what they've done.
It's like, oh, there's Andrew Jackson, the butcher. Yeah, there he is.
And he's looking at Trump, but he's like rolling his eyes. And you're like, hey, don't roll your eyes, Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
Who do you think's of the 45 presidents, and then let's just take like 45 random pirates from Pirates of the Caribbean who have done worse things? We don't know. We'd have to make up the backstory of the pirates, but
right. I mean, cumulatively, when you have the arm, have the might of the United States military at your hand, and
all Jack Sparrow's got is a bottle of rum,
and they also a lot of the pirates seem nice.
Yeah,
that's
they
true.
Are Disney-fied. The pirates are Disney-fied. The presidents, you cannot. No matter how much you wash away, you can't wash away those sins.
I think it's possible somebody might buy one of those brides at that auction and just like take them out to some nice dinners.
Oh yeah, they're
some
very
of those
nice
guys
to
are
them.
Too goofy looking to have too bad of intentions. They couldn't dream
of
it. Of
course, those pirates are just nice guys. They burned down the city, sure, but when it comes down to it, they just want to goof around.
The Caribbean town carnage, rusted out restaurants, and
if they get rid of Hall of Presidents, which I think if they want to do it, they have to get rid of it like in an election year, probably like at the end of a president's tenure, so no one accuses them of being bipartisan or saying
before
you're getting,
anyone's running.
That's well, yeah,
yeah.
While people are running, though, maybe. Unless there's like a crazier guy than Trump.
If by some bizarre stretch of the imagination, Trump is impeached and Pence gets in there, I could see them going, all right, you know what? If this is the way the presidency is going to be, if we're going to have to be changing these out every year and a half, then maybe we don't do this anymore.
Also, if they have a replacement ready, if they're like, you can't tear down the Hall of Presidents. Well, it's the X-Men's mansion now. Okay, bulldoze it. Destroy it. Done.
Right and left can agree on that. We want to go into the danger room.
You just put masks on all the existing ones. Millard Fillmore's Wolverine.
Yeah.
Gambit. Strife.
Yeah, got to get Strife in there.
That
would be great if it was just showing all the X-Men, like all of the X-Men.
Man, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We should do this in the last segment of the show.
We'll save the Hall of X-Men.
One last thing about the Trump thing. A hearty jeers to that one idiot who protested it, to that one idiot who already, in the lamest way possible, like stood up when Trump started talking and started yelling, lock him up. And it's like, you see the picture of this guy and he's like the biggest dipshit looking white dude, bohemian looking white dude. And then when reporters asked him, like, what do you say to the criticisms of, like, you kind of ruined a lot of people's fucking vacation, or what, like ruined people's day, he's like, these people should check their privilege, said the man who paid money to go to Disney World and yell lock him up.
Found a bigger interview and it's even one step beyond, which is that he was already going there with his family,
obviously.
You know, because hey, I couldn't afford it myself. Are you kidding? I could. So he's being taken there by his family. He's on a parent paid Disney World vacation, yelling about check your privilege.
Exactly. And like there were probably people in that room who like saved up for years, or maybe this is the one time they get to go. Maybe there was like a family reunion, and it's like, come on, dude, you're not changing enemy. Like, shut up.
Like fair, go protest. There's plenty of real things to go protest the president for real where he goes.
Like, nonprofits, but it's like, come on, man. Like, most people are taking a nap during this ride. You probably just startled a lot of sleepy dads and like kids and stuff.
I feel like this whole time I've kind of been looking forward to maybe protests happening in that thing, and then it happened, and I didn't like it. I just didn't like the way it went down.
Version of it too.
I mean, I don't know what you can do other than like hop on stage and try to steal the robot. Like, other than just trying to disrupt the show.
I've said it several times, but I know that there's big old turkey legs right next to the Hall of Presidents. I remember them specifically in the Liberty Square area and just nailing it real hard in the face.
Yeah, I mean, that would be funny.
There are
funny ways to do this. I mean, you would feel a lot of nice Imagineers put a lot of time, but I think even they would have to go, oh, that was really funny that you cleanly took the head off of the Trump robot with a turkey leg.
They'd have to admire it. Yeah,
they would have to go, well, I get it. Like, but aren't there rumors that there's security in these shows as well?
Oh, maybe
they
so.
Had been.
That they have
like,
plainclothes security officers.
Yeah, I haven't had been.
In the
well, there are spikes that we know. There's pointed spikes, but they did add like a layer.
Little flourishes or little. They almost look like fleur-de-lis, but they look like they're made out of fucking balsa wood.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't think those are really dissuading anybody. Yeah. They built a wall. They had to fill.
Yeah,
the wall.
They built a wall. All right.
I mean, there's a thousand things to say about this, but the other thing they seem to be doing to try to quell the potential outbursts is that they don't really provide a point for the booing to happen. I mean, this protester found one. He just started yelling, "Lock him up!" But as opposed to, I've watched now, just to make sure, I watched video of the previous presidents who all actually gave speeches, Clinton, W. Bush, and Obama, and for sure, in all of the previous iterations, they say, ladies and gentlemen, the current president of the United States, blank. And I watched one of George W. Bush from 2009, where he gets a raucous applause. People are like, George W. Bush, yay! It's like, it's huge for him, but they don't, so they kind of downplay that by
2009?
Yeah, yeah. Like I think, like January, like when he was
heading, right before, I may have
been watching the video of like his last appearance. They might have been before they closed, sending him out. I'm not sure, but so they sort of don't give you a boo point, which they've never done in a previous iteration of the ride, and they kind of get around it by having Washington make a little speech, which he also did for Obama, and then. Yeah. Trump says his own name as part of saying his own oath of office.
It says like, and now we go to the present. That's all. Yes. That's all the narrator says. Yeah. It doesn't. They don't announce the president.
Which they weirdly all. They also did for Obama, but then they also said Morgan Freeman, who hightailed the fuck out of this riot as soon as Trump appeared. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Barack Hussein Obama." And they say Hussein in it. I'm sure. But there were boos for. Obama, they were having problems, absolutely.
That's why they've been worried about this thing. Is that they're ever since the president started talking, and especially with Bush and Obama, people have been like actively cheering or booing.
Yeah,
but no one knows. President Baby Man broke our brains so much. No one knew how people would react to him because everything is chaos now. Everything is insane. So like,
including our deer theme parks. It's terrible.
Including our deer theme. But you know, this is. We're all going to forget he's in there soon enough. I mean, like,
you know what? I'll say they did a good job. The fact that there's only been that one protest, I think that'll dissuade other people from doing it.
Yeah.
Nothing else major. We didn't see anything else major. I also think that the only presidents Trump looks at is Nixon when they announce Nixon.
I think we can look it up again.
He looks at Nixon.
The other thing also, they make a big, this has never been in a previous iteration, but they very specifically point out in the narration that it's more about the idea of a president. They say this several times.
Oh, goody.
Once again, we place our trust in the idea of a president. This also, after a lot of, at the very beginning, they mentioned Walt Disney a lot, which I think is a way to say, shut up, nerd, settle down. Walt wanted this.
Yeah, that's in the lobby, too. There's like a corner. There's like, here's James K. Polk's vest, and here's Lincoln's hat, and here's a corner about Walt Disney.
our 47th president.
My president.
Jeez. I think invoking him is this way. Like, he would have wanted, he loved American history.
Right, and even if it's not a guy you love, don't you? He belongs here, right, guys? Man. He has to be here.
This was Nixon when it opened. What do you want?
Yeah.
We'll show you a video of Nixon dedicating the monorail with Walt. They were buddies. You're going to complain now?
Yeah. He loved piece of shit conservative politicians. What are you going to do? He was Walt Disney.
He'd be so happy about all this. Not like Iger turning his back on.
No, leaving the council, the special.
Oh, the special business council.
Evil business council.
Disney
would have around?
What would Walt do?
No,
he would have frowned
all
on
the
that.
Councils have been disbanded by this point.
Yeah, no more councils.
No more councils. Those are done.
By the way, also, another real quick thing, although let's talk for 45 more minutes. There's a ton to say here, but I got curious if there was if there were any Google results for Donald Trump Disneyland before 2015, like before he was literally in the parks.
Right.
Just is there any association between Trump and Disney? And I found two things. One, to speak of heads of Disney, Michael Eisner, when Trump started campaigning, Michael Eisner said, Trump expresses what a lot of people have in their unconscious, nightmarish thoughts. I don't think that style of insulting people, everybody you can insult should be representing our country. Michael Eisner hard against Donald Trump. Although he also made a giant deal with Sinclair Broadcasting, the right wing fake local news syndicate that John Oliver's railed against. So Eisner talks the talk, maybe doesn't walk the walk. But I broadened the search to just Donald Trump theme park. And here's a fact I'd never heard. There's something called Steeplechase Park, which is a part of Coney Island.
Oh, sure.
One of three zones of Coney Island. And in 1965, this area, this beloved seaside amusement park, was bought and torn down by Fred Trump.
There it is.
Wow.
Pretty crazy. Man. Old man Fred Trump.
Old
shutting
man Fred
down.
Trump, the guy arrested at a KKK rally, is that right, in Brooklyn?
Was he?
Yeah, I feel like there's some weirdness in the family.
Oh, there's some weirdness in the family?
Yeah, I feel like there's some weirdness.
You think a little bit?
Family.
Man, he hated, I bet, I mean, he, for sure, he hated fun.
Yeah.
He hated fun. He was like Art Carney from the Christmas special. He was a cartoonish old man who only liked business. He liked the day's business, and he liked the Ku Klux Klan.
he was another character. So many characters have been based on Donald Trump in cinematic history. Maybe Art Carney's character from the Disney special,
Gramps,
was probably based on old Fred Trump.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Oh, an old man who destroyed an amusement park. He's a literal Scooby-Doo villain.
Really.
And he ended up then the zoning for the area like didn't let them put up housing developments, which is what he wanted to do. So he sold it back to the city for in a frustrated state 3 years later, having torn down all the fun rides.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
The Trumps
hate theme parks.
They hate. Yeah.
And look what they've done since. We're here. Now we're all mad and talking about our little escapist theme park podcast has now become all politicized because of the Trump family again.
But why don't we segue into something lighter?
Absolutely.
Possible antitrust media company marriages.
Yeah, the consolidation of all media.
Our final story that we have to talk about is a horrible thing probably for everyone involved, media, news, everything. The merger between Fox and Disney, or I guess Disney's buying Fox. What do they want to call it? It's not really a merger,
Disney
I guess.
Disney is buying the assets of 21st Century Fox, which is like the creative wing of the Fox company. Fox News.
Fox, the broadcasting channel, is not going with them.
Yeah, no.
But
some of its shows are. So
yes.
The way television movies get made is insane to look at to normal people, and it's kind of complicated to explain. But there's studios, there's channels, there's production companies, there's...
Yeah, and confusingly, Fox the studio is not necessarily affiliated with Fox the channel.
Right.
Very confusing. Yeah. I've learned some of these things, by the way, because I have a project in the works that now I believe because of this deal is owned by Disney. So I'd like to say I'm all for it. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Thank you, Disney, my beloved new overlord.
Well, if you get a free pass out of it, of course it's good.
Sure.
Oh boy, I'm not counting.
You don't want to ask for that? Renegotiate now.
if you don't give me what I want, maybe I'll speak ill of this whole thing on my podcast.
Yeah.
You don't want that, do you?
So, Mike, so what are some of the things Disney would get out of this deal?
Well, I mean, everyone's really speculating, so I don't really know exactly what everything is perfectly, but they're going to get, like, Avatar. They're going to get Alien, the Alien franchise. They're going to get
Simpsons.
They're going to get Family Guy. They're going to get Die Hard. They're going to get, like, a ton of, like, back catalog of TV show and movies. Because it's very confusing, because sometimes you look at the Wikipedia and it says like this was co-produced by two studios, so I'm not exactly sure everything, but I think most of the things I just mentioned they're going to get like full control over. And of course the big thing, and probably the big reason they wanted to do this, was all the Marvel characters from Fox get to finally come home to Disney. We're talking X-Men, we're talking Fantastic Four.
And we're talking Deadpool.
And we're talking Deadpool,
folks.
Talking
motherfucking cunt-ass Deadpool.
Yeah, he's irreverent. And
the merc with the mouth is finally back home at the House of Ideas.
Everyone's favorite, like everyone's fifth favorite 90s character that is somehow like the giant star now is coming home to Disney.
Does the Disney ownership affect? I can't, like, will it affect how these properties are released, or do they have to be more family friendly or anything? I can't imagine they.
Well, Bob Iger was asked about Deadpool. Some reporter was like very concerned. Like, is Deadpool gonna go away now? We're gonna get more Deadpool, right? And he's gonna get to say bad, naughty words. And Bob Iger was like, yes, Deadpool will still have his wit and his irreverency.
And I think R-rated.
I think there's still room for R-rated.
We don't allow asides to camera here at the Disney Corporation. No more comments.
He's going to be, he can't say like, what is this, Rosie O'Donnell over here? Like one of his famous quips where he's like, for some reason in 1997. Like, oh, Rosie O'Donnell.
He can't do a bunch of jumps and flips to Third Eye Blind, semi-charmed life.
Yeah. So it's going to have to change a little bit. But it remains to be seen, because they have a whole Marvel apparatus that makes Look, and Jason and I are big Marvel boys, as we've said on the show before.
Since we were kids, yeah, since big we were Marvel kids. Boys.
And they make now they make three movies. Disney's made three Marvel movies a year, and they vary from like, you know, good to okay. And we'll see what happens. We don't know if Deadpool it will throw things off because no one has said the no one said fuck in Marvel yet. So when it, will Deadpool come in and say that, and will it just upset everything? Will
and it'll be the new. Now I can't go. What was the first talkie line? It's not. I was gonna say, "Here's looking at you, kid." That is
no
hard is it, incorrect.
You ain't heard nothing.
You
yet?
Ain't heard nothing yet. It'll be a you ain't heard nothing yet moment. The first time fuck is said in a Marvel Disney.
Hey, fuck off, Robert Downey Jr. And he'll say his real name, and then people will. I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be separate. I feel like it's going to be a, like, its own thing, and then maybe he like winks at the camera, or maybe in like 10 years when there's another like mega Avengers crossover movie, Deadpool shows up for a couple minutes.
I think they're separate, but I think X-Men and Fantastic Four movies go back to one. I think they relaunch. I think they burn off this Dark Phoenix one.
Well, they got a lot of movies. What's weird about this is like when you buy a movie studio, they have a year or two worth of movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have like three X-Men movies. They have Deadpool 2 already shot and made.
Yeah.
Does that come out via
so that
Disney
has to, I guess,
soon?
Come out via Disney. New Mutants. This deal is also going to take like a year to fully, I think, process. Mm-hmm. I think Trump's already like, hey, great. This sounds good to me. Like, he doesn't see a problem with only Disney owning everything.
Is there any chance it gets shot down by you're
not
right
in
probably
this
under
Republican
the
Republican government.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, for it shouldn't. There's no it shouldn't.
No. I mean, it's bad for like monopoly, like media corporation monopolies. It's a bad thing. And is it happening because the Murdoch children are fail sons and daughters?
I
mean,
I would
they're
like
fucking idiots. That's what I assumed. It's like Murdoch is going to die one day and doesn't trust any of his children with this stuff.
Well,
so.
I'm just going to parrot what I heard a fellow podcaster, Jim Hill, say on his podcast, is that they're concerned that like content is the thing that's going to move, you know, whatever streaming service you have. And they were looking ahead and they're like, we're going to lose to Disney. We may as well cut our losses now and make $60 billion. And because that's how much like the deal, it's like a $60 billion deal. They're going to keep their news network. They're going to still keep their
keep
organizations
the
of evil.
And, yeah.
Those are going to happen.
Lot,
and
apparently the, does not go anywhere. There's
and the
been
lot
discussion
doesn't.
Of that. Yeah.
I yeah. They're going to keep that there. Because like modern, this is a weird thing too. With Modern Family is a Fox owned show, but it airs on ABC. So then Disney gets control of Modern Family and gets all their residual money and all that shit.
Disney right. gets control of Avatar, which they have had to license for the parks, and now they will save all
yes.
this licensing
yeah.
money because they'll own it outright, and they will put out the Avatar films if
seven
they
sequels.
Are I think this is like Trump and his fake news award show that he's like stalling on because he doesn't know how to actually do it. I'm worried that they're is no Avatar 2. There will never be an Avatar 2. Does the Disney thing put the heat on him to actually put his money where his mouth is?
Like he hasn't shot a single inch of film or yeah, anything, think, and he's just like in a submarine going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Gone.
Iger shows up at his house. Shows up at, oh,
I think he
oh
shows
hey,
up,
man, was that today? Oh,
I think Iger will show up underwater in a sub, his, another submarine.
Oh, another
and,
sub.
And like, open hail him.
A hidden Mickey. The like portholes are hidden Mickey. Or
Yeah.
Like, oh no, that shape.
It's no, it looks like the Nemo sub from Disneyland. That's Bob Iger's sub.
Oh yeah.
Like, surrender the films.
Surrender.
Surrender the outline.
The unobtainium.
What are the kids doing? Why are there kids in Avatar now?
Tell us when will we see the mighty Akron again?
Yeah.
The mighty Banshee.
They saw us. We want to see them.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that going on. Iger having to shake people down for the movies they promised years ago.
Yeah, 28 dresses. We'll finally get 28 dresses now. Did you guys know I was reading about movies 21st Century Fox was released? Marley and Me and Bride's Wars, both
Bride Wars?
Bride Wars. Released on the same day. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was interesting.
I suppose.
I guess.
They're kind of cutting into the same market, aren't they? A dog movie and a wedding movie?
Yeah.
Although Bride Wars is like raunchy, though.
Yeah, I guess it was a little raunchy.
I think they're going to get like 24. They're going to get that franchise.
Oh, right.
So you're going to see, I think all these, we're going to get diehards for, I mean, we're probably already going to get diehards for the rest of our lives, but we're going to get everything's coming back already. And now Disney is the king of doing everything again, over and over again.
I would like to put Mike and Mai's name in the hat to write a big, loud, dumb 90s X-Men movie with characters with giant guns and lots of patches and bright colors and lots of explosions because, I think that's what those X-Men movies are missing.
Yeah, I think that they need the outfit. I mean, and big thing with me is the outfits.
Yeah, you gotta have the outfits.
Oh, and that's that squealing, that rock guitar, that
jamming
and noodling.
You bring the theme back. You bring the theme back from the 90s cartoon. You like put the orchestra behind it.
It's all melodrama. Every character is screaming like soap opera melodrama lines about their powers, and there's love triangles, and Jubilee's got a giant yellow trench coat, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
This sounds much better. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Than the joyless black leather costumes that they've been stuck in their singer verse so long.
Directed by international sex criminals. I wonder how he's doing in
international
Malta.
Waters.
Maybe he might, his submarine's going to bump with Cameron one of these days.
All these guys are in submarines. Kevin Spacey's submarine.
There's one place I'm safe, the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Also, Fantastic Four was so odd and joyless in the last round, but you've also seen Fantastic Four iterations that are so bright and colorful that they seem kind of silly.
But like, I would argue that that's not the problem with those movies, with being bright.
No, probably. There's a way to do bright, but nobody, I don't think anybody knows that. Everybody's doing this, like, this Nolan ripoff. I guess Guardians is a good example of a bright, fun movie that doesn't feel... stupid.
And like Thor Ragnarok has a ton of color. It's just a lot of Jack Kirby design and color. Yeah, and like the least, like that's another reason why I like the Marvel movies is because they're not like these joyless affairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
The
Incredibles is essentially a great Fantastic Four movie. Like a lot of that, I mean, the family element and
they ripped off all the powers. Yeah.
They just stole it. It's exactly the Fantastic Four. Like that's what you would do with that movie.
Pretty much.
So they have to just do that again.
So the Incredibles and the Fantastic Four
are in the same family.
Meet now.
Yes.
I like that idea. I actually...
Sure.
If it was CGI Incredibles and live versus live action...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everything is collapsing, too. Even though these companies are getting bigger and bigger, I think everything is collapsing. Mm-hmm. No one knows... Like, we're bringing back The Office on NBC. Like,
it's barely been gone.
2 years later, The Office is back, and everyone's they wanted to bring 30 Rock. And 30 Rock, they're trying to bring back, maybe. And like that wasn't even a hit at the time, but it was a bigger hit than what they're making now. Everyone's desperate. The walls, these networks are going to collapse. But I think that that'll probably happen with movies, and you'll see like stuff like that. The last gasp of entertainment will be throwing like Fantastic Four, Incredibles, Star Wars meets Deadpool. Like, it'll just be this disastrous, gross crossover stuff, which, you know, will be... That does sound fun, but, like...
You know, it just occurred to me, entire Simpsons Family Guy crossover series.
Sure.
This will happen. Yeah. They've done crossovers,
like,
and they did the big episode. I think... We're about 7 years away from entire new show where they just reset the rules and they all their next door neighbors. They just merge everything. Doesn't that seem?
Yeah, I mean,
accurate?
We probably should edit that out because it's a good idea that you could pitch and they'd be like, "Yes, of
and
course."
I can,
and you can show run it.
And I'm just given $4 billion and immediately, and Seth and Matt don't get a cut.
Uh-huh. But you have to. You'll have to voice. Seth will still do the voices.
I'll have to meet him and say, sorry you didn't get a cut, but hey, thanks for coming in. We got an $800 check for you. Man, that Peter voice is so funny, dude.
We did see in your contract, we will get you crooning.
You will croon.
Lie to Rose, I'm home again, Rose. We'll get that in there.
Seth can now perform on the Disney holiday specials more readily.
If he starts going down Main Street like Regis Philbin used to do, but he's doing the the Peter voice.
Or the Quagmire voice.
Oh, God. Yeah. This is this episode, by the way, a lot of references to our own continuity.
We're declaring it. Yeah, we can make insight. We can make references to our old episodes. We can.
Seth MacFarlane, I saw he commented on this because he was like, he's like, it's fine. Who cares? Like, he doesn't. But also, he was called by Bob Iger. Like, Bob called. He got a call.
Wow.
As did, I believe, Ryan Murphy, because Ryan Murphy has so many shows, Fox shows, and also FX is part of this as well. Like, they'll get, Disney will get American Horror Story and, like, whatever else is on. So, like, Ryan Murphy got a call, MacFarlane got a call of, like, hey, you know, just checking in, we're going to buy you, and hope you're all right. It doesn't matter if you're all right with it, but... fuck you.
So to bring it back to our fate, so what does this mean for the parks?
Oh, well, and this is, I just listened to this Jim Hill podcast. So, by the way, the plug, Jim Hill.
Shout out to our boys, the OGs, Jim and Len.
Len Testa. They do a podcast called Disney Dish Podcast. It's
Inside,
very good.
Ultimate Disney Dish Podcast hosted by Len Testa featuring Jim Hill.
It's a long title. It's a very long. It's not as long as Guardians of the Galaxy.
And then the logo is a
breakout.
T for some reason.
Yes,
it's the touring plans.
Touring plan. Oh, it's touring plans. Yes. Unofficial. That'd be my only comment, guys. Is decide the name, but otherwise we listen to it all the time.
That's
and
great.
We love it.
Yeah. And also if like listen to that podcast if you want people that really know what they're talking about. Like we're half
it's not
research.
Casual conjecture in an apartment.
Yeah. Also. Non-shout out to that one iTunes reviewer who said we don't do enough research.
Oh, that's right. We've saved it. We didn't comment on it on the Twitter or anything. We got a 3-star review.
Ruined our perfect record.
Way to give us a lot of stink coming into 2018.
We had 5 stars for every review, and then this guy gave us 3 and was like, these guys are funny, but man, they are inaccurate.
Yeah, and so we're just here to say we will never do more research.
This is the amount you're gonna get, all right?
Yeah, this is about.
It's part of the spirit that makes the fans come back again and again. That and the inside references to things we've done before. ain't that right, Bugsy Bones?
Anyway, so back to
The park. So
yeah,
and
parks,
he was saying, Jim Hill was saying that he thinks that right now the Imagineers or. According to his sources, because he is like, we are yet to have sources on this show. We don't know people in the inside, but he apparently has these sources. And they say that, you know, there was a chance that they were going to build a big Marvel Land in California Adventure right by that Guardians of the Galaxy ride. But now he's saying there's a chance they may slow it down and build an entire Marvel park. They might just do a full-sized thing with all the properties at once, put them all in the same place. Because right now, there's only so much room in California Adventure. And, you know, you're going to get a few things, but you're not going to get all of it because now they have access to all of it. Now you can make the X-Men's mansion. Now you can make the Baxter Building, the famous skyscraper that the Fantastic Four live in. Like, you can do all of it. And, hey, maybe we wait. Maybe we use that Toy Story lot and just do all Marvel. Maybe that's the step.
Sure.
So that's what it could mean for the parks. But in the short term... Yeah, maybe Cyclops shows up. Maybe you can shake Cyclops' hand and California Adventure in front of a Ward Wieners, in front of the hot dog store.
Maybe you can meet the apes, Caesar and
Koba. Yeah.
I think I'm wrong on that name. But.
I know Caesar. I have not seen any of the new apes, which I hear they're very good. Is Dr. Zaius in them?
No.
What?
Not yet. Oh. But they will own.
He's gonna get. That's right, because they're like prequels.
Yeah.
So like, Dr. Zaius comes in
dead
later
by the end.
Well,
Dr. dead
Zaius.
By the end of the first original plan.
Yeah, they're now at a point where they're gonna go build their society, and probably Dr. Zaius will be part of the.
But there's no
society.
Young Zaius either, like his grandfather.
Not unless a little baby ape we've met already is a burgeoning Zaius.
I think that's a big. I think they should have had a young Zaius.
Well, now they can have, in the parks, they can have a walk-around Zaius. There's so many. They can have the old one.
They could have the Charlton Heston-era Zaius.
Yeah. They own multiple apes, multiple Fantastic Fours.
You could go to Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Evergreen comedy reference, Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Unless we had anything else maybe to speculate, that leads us into this next segment. Did anyone else have any other thoughts before we do it? All right, we're going to do it.
Yeah,
so here we go.
It.
We are going to now build a Fox Land, a Fox theme park. Now, I've decided maybe we leave the Marvel characters out because they all belong in their own thing. But using all the Fox properties, we're going to sort of just sketch out what we think. Blue Sky is what they call it in Imagineering.
What they could legally do.
Legally now, yeah. Point. Disney could do with all these properties that they're buying. And it's going to be called Fox Land. I think we all agree on that.
That's nice and simple, yes.
Simple.
Love it. Fox Land.
I was thinking, where does this thing go? And my first thought was Iger should call Rupert Murdoch up and say, look, we want that Fox lot over in Century City. Mm-hmm. It's about 56 acres. It's a little smaller than Disneyland, but that's perfect, I think, for the spirit of Fox.
Yeah.
Okay, does everyone agree with that?
That's sure. where it all
It's where
it all
began.
Happens.
I think you demolish all the sound stages where the famous movies were.
Just pave over
just
that history.
Just one giant steamroller rolls over and...
Everybody's kicked off.
Bye-bye Modern Family set. You move somewhere else.
Bye-bye Simpsons offices.
Simpsons writers
room.
Go to hell. Yeah, go gone. Find another place. Go to the Disney lot. Everyone go to the Disney lot. We're building a theme park, a Fox theme park.
Yeah.
And I think you got to walk. So when you walk into a theme park that's Fox, it's got to have the big famous 20th Century Fox logo with the spotlights up on the top.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's the castle. That's the castle. The big attraction that leads you down 21st Century Avenue. I think that you light that thing up. You got those spotlights going, and you're playing the fanfare. Brum bum, brum bum. Just maybe. I mean, at least once an hour. Or you light it up like the Small World clock, or maybe once every 15 minutes, or maybe just all day, all the time, live band. This is what I want, live marching band playing the 21st Century Fox theme.
Uh-huh. I think that, we have to go live band, because that's a Disney type thing.
You could trade them out in shifts, just kind of in way, all right, now the trombone players leave and we slide in the next shift, and you do 8 hours of straight horn playing, straight drumming,
because there's been people in the have played with the title, like in their movies they sometimes do a different type of theme, or if it's a futuristic theme, it's like an EDM Fox theme or something. I don't know if that's real, but I assume
Don John, probably
Don John,
if that was Fox.
Wait, is Don John Fox?
I don't know, I can look up.
Can we
Don
get
John's.
Don John in there?
Fingers crossed.
Let's see if Don John
It's very funny on YouTube, like somebody doing it, that theme as a recorder, just like in the
20th
very
century
bad,
Fox.
Hard to control recorder.
The 20th Century Fox theme or the Don John theme?
not Don John. No.
Oh, okay.
The General Fox theme.
Don John is not Fox.
All right. You're out. Shit. You're out of Fox.
So there won't be a walk around Don John.
Okay. But we have the logo. That's,
We can all agree. That's a simple. That's a gimme.
Okay. Yeah.
In.
I'm thinking, like, we can start with, like, land ideas or ride ideas. Mm-hmm. Do you have, Jason, do you have one?
I've got some legitimate stuff, and then I've got some goofy bullshit. So,
well, to be fair, Jason, this is all goofy bullshit.
Yeah,
this
that's
whole podcast,
true.
Everything we're doing here.
Okay, well, here's a deep pull. Here's, like, a real nerd answer is that we could finally get the very original iteration of Alien Encounter.
Yeah.
Sure.
This didn't come up earlier, but Stitch's Great Escape, the Disney World ride, has like officially closed now. And, you know, that was built on the bones of the Alien Encounter ride, legitimately the scariest ride Disney ever built, which in a very early version was supposed to be the aliens from Alien. I forget what are those things called? They have a name.
The
Xenomorphs.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be an alien teleported in, and it was supposed to be like a xenomorph. So like that is 20th Century Fox, so we could get a Prometheus or aliens like themed ride or walkthrough or show or something.
This is good, because this segs into an idea I have. I think there should be a whole sort of space land because we have Lost in Space is a property that they have too,
sure.
And they're going to do a new series on that. So I think this alien ride would be perfect. You put a fun sort of Lost in Space ride, and then because I'm a thoughtful person when it comes to corporation and synergy, I think you put in a new ride based on the TV show The Orville.
You motherfucker.
So and what the thing about the Orville ride is, you're riding it and you're going, well, is this supposed to be funny? Is this supposed to be a serious ride? And it sort of straddles the line between. You're riding it and it's fun and it kind of looks good but not good. and you're like, it's just, you're not sure. So you're done with the ride and you're like, oh, I kind of like that. And you're scratching your head, and it's a different type of an experience that you're getting when you ride on this ride. And of course,
it's innovative
in that respect. So I think that's a good idea. I think that would be a whole space section would be nice.
Titan AE.
Perfect.
In there.
I had Titan AE. Yeah,
great.
We can throw all of that in there.
Land. Great. Do you know more about Titan AE than I do? I certainly don't. We're going to teach the world. We're going to revitalize the franchise.
No, I remember, I don't think I saw it in theaters. I think I saw it on videotape, but I remember liking it.
We can merge the Titan AE characters and the Treasure Planet characters, finally.
Well, here's my idea. Speaking of Titan AE, because Titan AE comes up on one of mine, it's called Fox's Cartoon Street.
Okay,
go
ahead.
Because like Mickey's Toontown, all of your favorite Fox cartoon characters live with each other. You know, so all of your favorites from The Simpsons and Family Guy and Titan AE live on the same street. And who's that? Why, it's the gang from Ice Age at the zoo. And who's visiting them today on a class field trip? Why, it's young Alan Gregory, the child genius.
Of course, yes. Hello, Alan.
And will there be the fish police are keeping an eye on everything.
The fish police are keeping an eye on everything.
I think that's great. I think people are going to love that.
You know who I want to see in there? The Gracie Films silhouette. Shushing everybody.
Absolutely.
That's great. And I would, if I may, I think we should also see the Capital Critters there. Also owned by Fox.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they aired on ABC, I believe, but owned by Fox. So will Capital Critters. Famous 90s political satire cartoon all under one glorious roof.
And similar, a different kind of cartoon. And this I am legitimately think would be cool. They made the Fantastic Mr. Fox movie, and
sure.
I really like that movie. I think it's got a really cool look, and that I feel like would be a great dark ride or walkthrough attraction.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm looking at mine, and they're all goofy bullshit. Look, like the famous Superstar Television at Disney's Hollywood studio, where you would get to be part of the TV show, I think that it's fun. That's fun. You see your mom up there, and she's doing fun stuff. So I think you take maybe some talk shows that Fox owns, and you put those up. I'm talking Magic Hour. I'm talking the Chevy Chase talk show. I'm talking we get actually Magic Johnson and Chevy Chase to do shifts in the park interviewing your mom or your dad about what's going on, how are the kids behaving, how hot is it out here, although Culver City it's actually not that hot because it's kind of close to the ocean. So maybe the answer will be it's fine, it's the temperature's fine.
But so, both of them, basketball involved in both of those shows. They may probably use the same set. Magic Johnson, an actual basketball player, whereas Chevy Chase would come out and take a shot at the beginning of every episode. So they could just leave that up for either of them.
Yeah,
Chevy missed very often. I want to see the full recreation of that set with the fish tank behind him.
Yeah.
Just keep that basketball away from that fish tank. That's a potential spillage.
How's the vacation going, Grandpa? Like Chevy would say. And then, yeah, I think this would be great. I think you could sell a VHS copy of the appearance after for everyone if they wanted it.
Not even DVD.
Nope.
VHS.
Well, no, me and Chevy.
I mean, I'll run through my other ideas here real quick. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, they have guides at Disneyland. Somebody, if you're rich, you'll have a guide. I think that all the guides should be dressed like Mr. Belvedere. I think they should be helping you and finding, you know, things you want.
Right.
I think that's a good idea. I think that, let's see, here we go. Okay, this is my favorite idea is a whole, let me backtrack. Fox owns MTM Enterprises, which is Mary Tyler Moore's production company.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So when Disney buys this, I'm assuming they now own all of these shows. So, and there's a lot of shows here. And I have some ideas for them, like, for instance, Newhart. Newhart was a show bus starring Bob Newhart where he owned a bed and breakfast and there was a whole host of weird characters. That's the hotel.
Oh,
Newhart is the hotel.
Wow.
You stay at, and then there's the people, the famous wacky characters that come in. I think that, you know, when you go into this Mary Tyler Moore land, which I'm going to call it, You're greeted by the cartoon cat Mimsy, which is the famous title card for MTM. Uh-huh. I'm alienating anyone who's under 50 right now.
Instead of it's not a lion in the logo, it's a cat. A cat. Actually, in fact, here's my pitch for this area, Disney MTM Studios. Well, nod
I think
to the
that's
old
great.
Park.
I think that's great. Sue Ann from Mary Tyler Moore. You'll eat at her restaurant. You'll learn newspaper making from Lou Grant. And there'll be a Mary Tyler Moore e-ticket where it's like an Omnimover ride where you go through the streets of Minneapolis aboard a news van trying to break stories.
You could do a parachute ride that shoots you up real fast where you're on a giant Mary Tyler Moore hat. She's throwing you up in the air.
That's great. It's for kids. That's sure. All ages. This Omnimover one, you have to be like 14 to ride.
Okay. So there is
<that's>, now. I've got a bit of a saucy one that we might have to put an age gap on or an age limit
go
on.
Go ahead.
Zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
We all know Mike and Dave from Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Yes, of course.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now Mike and Dave need your help. That's right. You are the wedding date in this new 4D gross out simulator adventure.
Hey, that's good.
Can't
I like
wait.
That.
And then you got a ride component. There's the you're jumping on mopeds with those
goofs.
Oh
man, you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot. You know, you could maybe do an entire sectioned off area that is 18 and up, which is where Deadpool can live, but more importantly,
well, Deadpool is every. There's walk around Deadpool's.
Oh, okay.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just
in my mind.
Well, he can be like there's him in a spacesuit and him as a cowboy.
Oh, perfect.
There's just multi. You know,
that
Deadpool will be
oh,
in every land.
Great.
You just don't
that
know
is good.
Where. He can be in Mouse Ears over in regular Disneyland. But I think you take the maybe you call this area Fox XXX like with all the with three X's.
Oh, yeah.
But this is that's the good, yeah. 18 and over area, and this could be the home of an area that I want to see, which is Silk Stockings Square. the famous Crime Time and Prime Time started on CBS and moved over to USA. You know, a 90s crime show is very sultry and very sexy. Fox, I'm unclear on it. It looks like they only produced the season 6 through 8. So you would have to pick up just the characters
so
from
late
season
period.
6. Yeah, yeah. Towards the end, we're talking like 96 to 99. So you would have to center on detectives Tom Ryan and Cassandra St. John. Mm-hmm. But that gives you a lot of great plots to work with, and I think maybe you could do kind of a live show. There was a Dick Tracy show in the 90s at Disneyland. You could do a thing like that. Maybe not quite a stunt show because I don't know that USA could afford a lot of stunts by that point in the run of Silk Stockings. But you could watch Tom and Cassie solve mysteries live on stage,
sure.
And you could slide out different formative episodes of Silk Stockings. I'd love to see a live experience based on their episode where somebody's committing murders based on who he meets in a chat room. That episode, of course, called callmeatmurder.com. So let's see the yeah. stunt show off of that. Also, another one called Do You Believe in Magic, where Tom and Cassie's only clue in a murder case is a ventriloquist dummy. So that lends itself pretty perfectly
yeah.
to a theme park environment. So, yeah, a lot of sexy fun waiting in Silk Stocking
wow,
Square.
That's fun.
Hey, and
wow.
buy your gal some lingerie and some garters while you're over there. Some steamy 90s goods.
Sure.
Wow,
Fox
great.
Has always been very salacious, but I think we shouldn't forget the company's rich history. I mean, they have been releasing movies since the 30s. And so I know I said we could bring something back earlier, but I think this is just too perfect. And we were talking about stuff going away and coming back too quickly. I think you got to bring back the Great Movie Ride, just exploring the history of Fox, all the way from early classics like Redheads on Parade and Steamboat Round the Bend to Oscar-nominated Golden Age films like Heaven Can Wait and The Oxbow Incident, all the way to your favorite movies of today like Why Him and The Murder on the Orient Express. And let's not forget all your favorite Fox-produced TV shows like Ally McBeal and Judging Amy
They're
and the current hit Sleepy Hollow.
They're on the movie ride?
They're all on the movie ride, too.
This is a good catch-all to fit them all on. I agree. Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the
yeah.
ride culminates in an incredible climax featuring a very accurate and very graphic rendition of the crucifixion from the Passion of the Christ.
Is that them?
Is that
That's
Fox?
Them. Wow. They get wow. Christ. Fox has Christ. And the whole ride is hosted by your good friend Deadpool.
Oh, he's not letting anybody get out of there scot-free.
Oh, boy.
The only thing I would say, I have one improvement, is if you could put a show scene on there from the hit Fox show Drexel's Class. Starring Dabney Coleman.
I mean, we might have to dial back the perfect... Wait, was it Boston Comet? I forget.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
some
yeah.
90s thing.
You know, we were sort of roughing out an idea yesterday that I think could fit within this.
Oh, yeah.
Which
oh,
is yeah. That with these purchases, that we now have... between Disney and Fox, a myriad of Samuel L. Jackson characters and films.
Oh, wow.
So I think that this iteration of the Great Movie Ride should have the hall of SLJ. Mm-hmm. You can pass through the hall of SLJ where you can meet, remind me, Nick Fury and...
Frozone from The Incredibles.
Frozone from The Incredibles.
He's Mace Windu, which Lucasfilm's owned by Disney, so you can have Mace in there.
Mm-hmm. Put out by Fox and now totally owned by... you have his character from Die Hard 3, whose name is... available on Wikipedia
oh.
for you to look up at home. Oh, Zeus Carver.
Oh, yeah, 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 of course.
That's a great name.
Imagine passing by every, within the company's ownership, Samuel L. Jackson character.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Sure. I think
all people, of them badger you as you. Those are the only guys who are going to be able to put Deadpool in his place.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
Deadpool's like, ooh, I'm cutting out of this part of the ride. I'll see you guys at the end. But, you know, this might get a little heavy, the history of an esteemed movie studio. And that's why I think next to it should be something a little lighter, a little area called Parody Land. Because
uh-oh.
Fox put out both Meet the Spartans and Vampires Suck.
Oh, no.
So you
wow.
can see some of the hilarious skewerings of the pop culture of, what was that, the mid-2000s, early 2000s?
The Seltzer Friedberg franchise of quickly pumped out parody films.
Yes, that one.
Great.
Wait, are we watching the movies?
We're living.
Oh, there's a land.
Well, maybe they could. It could be a land that is parodying existing Disney.
That's good.
Oh, and, yeah.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Meet the land. Meet the theme park land.
It's like here's the. Actually, how about a great movie ride that's like. Highlights of all of the main Disney attractions. But you know, you say you're going through the room with Madame Leota and the crystal ball in the Haunted Mansion, but inside is Snooki.
Oh boy,
that wouldn't be the first Snooki reference in a theme park. Snooki famously appeared in the Disney California Adventure Aladdin show. I mean, the name appeared.
Oh, yeah. Now we're getting back to that.
Snooki. So yeah, that's
this
not,
is our way to get topical references.
That's not without without precedent.
Back into
I'm
the
saying.
Theme park, you're there's sort of a Star Tours kind of section, but your pilot is Borat.
Yes.
Oh yeah, they do own Borat, and you
well,
know,
no, but the parody films also that's
Borat.
Sort of that's the fun of those movies. Ooh. It'll just cut to Borat, not even a parody of it. Just here's Austin Powers, here's Borat. So I think that's all fair game now within parody.
So really, in Parody Land, yeah, you can have every character ever because it's
you
a parody.
Can have whatever you want outside of Parody Land. Why you could get your pictures with the Monument Men. And then inside Parody Land,
the Monuments Men, Jason.
The Monuments Men.
Multiple Monuments.
There's a sharp-witted takedown of the Monuments Men in Parody Land.
Wow, yeah, both. So you can have, real Borat and
real
fake just off enough different mustache width so that they can't get sued Borat.
Wow.
I love it.
That's great. I mean, the only last thing I have is that I want there to be a live show based on Kelsey Grammer Presents the Sketch Show from 7 or 8 years ago with local improvisers headed by one Jason Sheridan.
Oh, boy. That
oh, really?
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the show. He was not on the show.
I wasn't on the show.
He's in the theme park version of the show.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. I thought, wait, that show was a while back.
It would be funny if you didn't know Jason was the star of Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer was the sketch show when I was like 20.
And it's
far as I know, as far as the world knows about Kelsey Grammer's The Sketch Show, mm-hmm. I'll put in one more, which is a... a more hallowed Fox Television franchise. There's going to be an area called Mash Mountain, it's kind of a Camp Snoopy. It's actually, I think it's with all of the vehicles famously used in MASH, you can have a lot of fun little kids rides, but the kids can also learn about the horrors of the Korean War.
Sure.
Hawkeye's helicopters, Radar's racers, Trapper John's tanks, maybe a merry-go-round that's all scalpels and different surgical instruments, and you can form your own conclusion about whether that's a war we should have been in or not.
I think that's to use another reference to our old show, much like your Christmas pitch for the submarine ride where the North Pole's been destroyed as a way to teach children about global warming. I think this is great. I think kids are going to learn a lot from it.
I think we need more lessons,
and I think that the property, the IP MASH, really lends itself to that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I think this more adult issue-oriented park is the way of the future. Mm-hmm. Kids will learn about parody and skewering at an earlier age, and about war. And there's a lot of possibilities here.
So come to Foxland, which is right off Avenue of the Stars, which is the street in Century City.
It's in an incredibly inconvenient location.
It is, and if you've ever been there, they try to make you park at a parking garage. It's 25 minutes. That's a little inside baseball, but I've had to walk literally a half hour from a parking garage to get to the lot. It's insane. But
so
we'll
figure
that out.
It sounds like Disneyland already.
That's a good point. It's really just add a tram or a gondola, and then we're good.
Foxland's right. I think we gave them enough information to get started on it now. And I'm going to leave here and immediately make some calls and get the Simpsons Meet Family Guy series going. So I'll toss in like a billion or so to start it off of my personal funds. And then we'll have Foxland up and running in no time.
I think we're all getting on the phone with our teams after this, right? To start the ball moving.
Start triangulating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's time. Because we thought of it, there will be statues of the three of us out in front of the Fox logo, like Walt and Mickey, the statue in Disneyland, but it's all three of us holding hands.
Yeah.
And microphones.
Also trying to find the person in the middle is getting the most screwed because he's got a...
He has a cordless headset mic on.
Oh, great. Perfect. we can solve problems so quickly in no time. Hey, we'll see you in Foxland. You've survived podcast The Ride. So now what happens? Follow us on... It's all
Follow
the same.
Us, hey, yeah,
it's
nothing,
the same. Nothing really
Follow
changed.
Follow us on
God willing,
Twitter.
You will notice no difference.
We're trying to do a little more on Instagram, post some videos of weird stuff that we're talking about.
Rate us on iTunes, but only say nice things and say give us 5 stars. We don't want any like criticism at all.
We're very sensitive.
Our little review zone Avenue of the 5 stars.
Ooh, that's good.
No threes.
Podcasttheride@gmail.com.
We've gotten some really nice emails. We have to talk about those in a future date.
Yeah, and future episode ideas throw our way. I think we are. Thanks anybody on Twitter who said let's talk about Stitch's Great Escape. I think that one's probably coming up soon.
Yeah.
Happy 2018. If you have any complaints about anything from this episode, now that we're kind of doing it on our own, let us know. You're our boss. So shoot us an email. This is great. This is fun, guys.
Yeah, and thank you all so much for listening. As we roll into this new year, it means a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much,
buckaroos. All right,
Wild West, baby. Bye.